Next two men that we're going to talk to have never shied away from giving their controversial views. I'm joined by Senator Owen Harris and Paddy Prendeville, the editor of Phoenix Magazine. And Paddy Prendeville, I was saying to you as we were listening to that vox pop from Nicolene Greer, you're really going to miss this, Taoiseach, because your Northside Taoiseach section of Phoenix Magazine is hugely popular and very funny.
Well, yeah, we like to think so. More importantly, the readers like us. I believe Bertie likes us.
Is that so?
So I'm told. The secret of that was the authenticity of it and the refusal to get snobbish about Bertie's actions or his verbal mistakes or whatever. It's just so... It's somebody at very close quarters who's been writing that. And, yeah, you know, he'll be missed for that reason and a few others, I suppose.
What other reasons will he be missed for?
Well, Bertie's success was, if you like, his partial role in the peace process, his partial role in the creation of the economy, in particular partnership policies. But to put it in perspective, you'd have to say that Bertie's role in the peace process was one of many contributions, and that he was fortunate enough in terms of the economy to preside over the biggest, the only real boom that's happened in this country in the last 100 years, or perhaps even ever. So, you know, history will judge him in that context, I think. And it's slightly spoiled, or significantly spoiled, if you like, by what's been happening in the last number of months and years.
And I suppose history will eventually decide that as well. And in that statement today, he says, I've done nothing wrong and eventually I'll be vindicated by the Mahon Tribunal. But let's come back to some of the points you're making there, Paddy. You talk about his partial role in the Northern peace process and his partial role in the economic development of the country. People like Senator George Mitchell, who was on this programme earlier, Tony Blair, who's been talking today, we haven't heard from Bill Clinton, but I'm sure he'd be in that camp as well, would say that his role was crucial.
Well, I think the role of whatever Taoiseach was in place at the time would have been crucial. But I think Albert Reynolds' contribution was enormous. He's the one that made the breakthroughs, you know, and the one who's got pilloried more, perhaps, than Bertie did, because he was breaking new ground. I'm not trying to take away from what Bertie did, but I'm trying to be proportionate about it. And he will be lionised today and for a little while because this is the day in which he's announced his resignation. But I think in putting it in perspective, Bertie's contribution was partial. And it is hard to say that without him it wouldn't have happened. In fact, I don't accept that. I think it would have happened without him. That he was in situ was good, and he made his contribution.
Do you think it happened sooner because of him, or are you saying there was an inevitability to what happened?
I think once,
many would disagree with that.
I think that once Reynolds made the breakthrough, yes, I do think it was inevitable. You would have to say, I mean, I don't, people may take this as very biased, but the contribution of Reynolds and Haughey was extremely positive. The contribution of John Bruton was not so positive.
And he had to come back from that.
He did indeed. It was coming back. There are stories about it being delayed right until the demise of John Bruton for you know, political Republican reasons.
But we talked to George Mitchell earlier, who talked about the sacrifices that Bertie Ahern made ten years ago in 1998, you know, flying up, coming back down for his mother's funeral, having to fly back again because the talks were at such a crucial point at that stage. And they're the sort of sacrifices that not many people perhaps would make.
I think they're the sort of sacrifices that any Taoiseach in his situation would have made, and fair play to him for doing it. But as I say, perspective here, please. The day that he's resigned, or the day in which he's going to get these plaudits, and to an extent they're deserved, but it's like, you know, you don't speak ill of the politically dead straight after the funeral. There will be a more measured appreciation of Bertie Ahern. And when, as I say, when it comes to the economy, I mean, that was a gift. It has started before he arrived, and it went into full throttle during
his... So the question then is the managing of that economy.
I think a lot of economists would say, not all of them now because they're changing tack vis-à-vis the unions, that his partnership approach, his Mr. Fix-It approach, was very useful. You could also argue that it's because it's very hard to say what he stood for. that his supreme pragmatism was an effect, if you like, of a lack of real philosophy and a set of principles.
Was that not a strength in many aspects of being a Taoiseach leading a political party like Fianna Fáil?
Well, it certainly is, and it's very typical of a Fianna Fáil leader, or of many of them. I think he's the opposite of Charlie Haughey, who, whatever we think about Haughey, did have a strong republican philosophy, but who also had a more rounded approach to, you know, things like the arts and society. And his political speeches, I think, had more depth to them. Martin Mansour wrote both men's speeches on some occasions.
Do you think he wrote today's resignation speech, Roberto?
I doubt that very much.
Yeah, what do you think of it?
I thought it was impressive. There were one or two things that stuck out, I thought. I thought his insistence on party unity was interesting. Whether that was synchronised with Brian Lenehan's demand for no contest, I can only speculate about, but that jumped out at me. Because on the one hand, it is to his credit that he did heal many of the divisions inside Fianna Fáil, and then Brian Lennon comes on, like, within minutes, and he's appealing for no leadership contest. That may be a coincidence, I don't know, but that jumped out at me.
Owen Harris, Senator Owen Harris, thanks for joining us. You disappointed today that the Taoiseach has decided to call it quits?
I am. I think
you battled hard for him.
Yes, but it just was taking a terrible toll of him. I think he decided to go some time ago, but I think he, you know, like first pressure at trigger, he decided to go in principle, then decided to wait for his opportunity. He's been a very good tactician always, and I think on the rising tide of some more favourable comments the weekend, plus
your own included,
good,
I suppose.
Well, the good court and the good outcome of the court. I think that he just took the moment. I'd add into that, like John Bruton being very careful not to say a word against him at the weekend as well. But you know, as I said, I look, there's been so much sort of obituary style tribute to him today. I'm not going to add to them. As I said, I'm not the priest at the funeral. I'm more like the detective wondering who killed him and whether he had to be whether it was murder or whether it was suicide or what.
So, well, what do you think?
Well, what I think is that the only good thing, it's a bad day for Ireland, I think. I think it was a symbiosis of the Mahon Tribunal and some of the media and circulation building mode they kept after him. I think eventually the sheer weight of the campaign, opening the papers every morning, seeing bad stuff and hearing people call you a thief and a liar and a perjurer as he was. Dr. Johnson says that once the world has begun to use you badly, it will go on doing so, and I think there was an element of that there. But the good news is for Fianna Fáil, it's the first time in modern Irish history that a major political party stood up to the media and survived. There wasn't a crack, there wasn't an inch given by the front bench. Brian Cowan, the Lennon brothers, Willie O'Dea, and Dermot Ahern, above all, maybe, they all showed enormous loyalty. And there's a mad spin today, like, oh, that those who didn't sort of take the Taoiseach on they'll be held to an account by the opposition. Like hell, it's a very good day for the Fianna Fáil party because, of course, you know, he's probably his last act. He was always the great unifier, unifying his party, unifying the people in the island, unifying the people in the Republic, and indeed, in many ways, unifying the people of Britain and Ireland. But his last great act has been to copper fasten the unity of Fianna Fáil. It'll be a very formidable organisation at the next general election.
Paddy Prendeville, the editor of Phoenix, is with us as well. And politicians like Enda Kenny and Eamon Gilmore were saying today, you know, it's politics, it's not personal. And the media would also say, Owen Harris, that it's business, it's not personal.
Well, of course, they would say that. Some of them could say it with clean hands, and some of them could not say it with clean hands. Some of them, virtually took up residence in RT studios and in other radio studios around the world and became sort of non-stop man experts. At the end of the day, it's so much tawdry fluff, like, you know, 5 hours from now, 5 days from now, nobody will care. And I bet my bottom dollar you won't find the media turning up for Bertie Ahern's evidence in a man tribunal when he comes back.
Paddy Prendeville, you've been a critic.
Well, I mean, when it comes to the media, I mean, I think Senator Owen Harris is being a little bit disingenuous. I mean, there's three main print media protagonists when it comes to Bertie and the Mahon Tribunal. You have the Irish Times, which, yes, I believe, did carry out a political campaign. They reported, quite rightly, the leaked documents in September 06. But I would say that the Irish Times had a campaign against Bertie Ahern, driven by a political agenda, their own prejudices, their own political views, and that's honourable or dishonourable, depending on your point of view. The Mail, Daily and Sunday, also had an agenda against Bertie Ahern, determined, I would argue, by an editorial marketing decision that that was the way to go in terms of stories and readership and having an edge. And then we have the Sunday Independent, constantly proclaiming itself as the biggest selling paper in the country, which it is, which had a much more interesting agenda. Because there was a time, for example, when let's take Senator Owen Harris, 10 years ago, he accused Bertie of naked sectarianism. He accused him of having no character and of having neither the style nor the substance to mask the defects of character. 2.5 years ago, he said a vote for Bertie is a vote for Gerry Adams. And just in the few weeks run up to the election, the Sunday Independent, Owen Harris included, attacks Bertie Ahern. What changed with the Sunday Independent and Owen Harris?
I'll
tell you if you like.
Hey, Paddy Prendeville is obsessed by the Sunday Independent, and I could go to LexisNexis and print off 100 other quotes showing that I supported Bertie Ahern. Like any political columnist,
have a road to Damascus, Owen Harris, in relation to Bertie Ahern?
Paddy Prendeville is deliberately distorting the record. The fact is, most of my commentary from 1994, I famously hardly said a bad word about Bertie Ahern, and he himself would acknowledge that. And that was because when he took over Fianna Fáil, he had Albert Reynolds' pan-nationalist consensus, and he changed that to a more pluralist one, and that never went down well with the kind of Republican radical agenda of Paddy Prendeville and his Sunday Independent obsession. And it's just a complete, absolute lie of Paddy Prendeville to say that the Sunday Independent in any way ran any kind of agenda. Only myself and Brendan O'Connor actually supported Ahern in the Sunday Independent. All the other columnists were very, very, very sceptical of Bertie and Mahon and his evidence of Mahon.
Paddy.
In April of this, just before the election last year, Owen Harris said a rumour about Bertie changing on stamp duty was not going to make him vote for Fianna Fáil. Now, at that particular time,
you, Vincent Brown, we all have different weeks, yeah, different columns.
Can I finish
about different
the point I'm going to make? If I could finish the point I could make.
You are obsessed by me in the Sunday Independent.
Published more articles
about me than anybody else.
Owen Harris told Today FM that he changed his line on Bertie Ahern because, quote, we got what we wanted. Now, that's Owen Harris's own words. I also recall at the time predicting, because a Fianna Fáil handler had told me, that Tony O'Reilly would rein in the Sunday Independent, who had been extremely critical of Bertie Ahern every week throughout April until just before the election.
Then, as Brian Cowan admitted,
he met Tony O'Reilly. Bertie Ahern was challenged about it. He didn't deny it. They met Tony O'Reilly. And Owen Harris changed his position. Owen Harris changed his position. He had denounced Bertie Ahern 3 weeks previously for not reforming stamp duty, had said that even when the rumour existed that he was going to change it, this does not mean I will vote Fianna Fáil. You changed your line immediately following the meeting between Brian Cowan and Bertie Ahern and Tony O'Reilly.
Let Owen Harris answer that. Owen Harris.
I would just say that's an absolute distortion, because since 1990, I think about 1990, I wrote my first pro-Bertie Ahern article. I'm not from a Fianna Fáil background. From 1994 onwards, out of 100 columns, I would say 98 of them were favourable. Paddy Prendeville just goes and picks out a few things when I'm having a disagreement with Fianna Fáil and the government, say on something like stamp duty. That does not affect the broad thrust of my political support for Bertie Ahern's campaign in Northern Ireland. And Phoenix, which is some kind of nationalist rag, has been very critical of that kind.
All right, before we finish, you've both had your say on this. I want one question to both of you. Owen Harris, Paddy Prendeville, before you go, I want the name of the next Taoiseach and Taoiseach from both of you. Paddy Prendeville first.
Brian Cowan and, I suspect, Mary Coughlin.
Brian Cowan and Mary Coughlin. Owen Harris.
I don't know, but I know that the Fianna Fáil party are in very good order at the moment. They haven't put down their Taoiseach, as Fianna Gael put down Dukes and Bruton and Noonan, and as Fianna Fáil put down Albert Reynolds.
You don't know?
Time they've been
you think it'll be Brian Cowan?
I think it's most likely, but I don't think it matters. Whoever it is will have the full support of the party.
And for Taoiseach?
I don't know.
All right, we leave it there. Senator Owen Harris and Paddy Prendeville, editor of Phoenix Magazine. Thank you both very much.